Yeah, let me tell you about our commercial this time. It's Relief Factor, and I'm telling you, it is, it's a pleasure to do a commercial for them, because a year ago, I think next week, I started taking Relief Factor. I don't mark that on my calendar at all for anything, except for like my sobriety and now Relief Factor, because it has taken me out of pain. Not 100%, but I'll tell you, I can live with the pain that I have now. I couldn't a year ago, but I started taking 100% drug-free Relief Factor, and it has helped me so much. Please try it for 3 weeks. Do what I did last year at this time. Try it for 3 weeks. If it doesn't work, stop taking it. 70%, find results and order month after month like I do. ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Oh my gosh, can you see, can you feel the spirit of Christmas? Can you listen? Shh. Do you hear the reindeer hooves on the top of the Time Warner building at CNN? They're like, it's Christmas time. Santa is delivering presents right now. They have the first sentencing of a major player in President Trump's inner circle. Oh my gosh, let's open this gift. This is the gift that's finally going to destroy him. That's what's happening all around the media today. Yesterday, Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, was sentenced by a federal judge in Manhattan. How did he explain himself to the judge? Well, we start there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Never a minute more than away from content, great content. Welcome to the program. A quick reminder from LifeLock about the online purchases this holiday season. You have to be really careful about who you're shopping with. Now is the time that people put up these fake sites. Can you imagine? It's kind of like, how much time have we wasted talking about politics and speculation about politics?
Right. That's stuff that didn't even wind up coming true.
Right.
No relevance a week later.
Right. How is that? I mean, think about what we could create. Imagine if all these criminals would, I don't know, put that used to something creative other than we could do a fake website where we could get people to order fake products. We could get their credit card numbers.
Brilliant.
It's just nuts. Anyway, don't shop from sites that don't make the SSL encryption. You just look for the URL up at the top, and it should say HTTPS, or it should just have the padlock up there in the address bar. If you don't see that, don't shop there. But you have to be really careful, because all of the transactions you are making, it is the holiday system for a season for cyber criminals as well. You need LifeLock with Norton Security now. And I tell you, now is the time. I've listened to these commercials for years, and I remember thinking, it's not going to. Now, absolutely. You need to have this. LifeLock uses proprietary technology to detect and alert you to a wide range of identity threats. Norton protects your devices against the cyber threats, so it's all of it. Now, nobody can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but nobody does it better than LifeLock with Norton Security. Go to LifeLock.com and use the promo code Beck. Get an additional 15% off your first year. Do this before you do any more shopping, please. Use the promo code Beck at LifeLock.com. LifeLock.com. Promo code Beck. Okay, so Michael Cohen, who was anybody clear that, was anybody shocked that the guy who's like, look, guys, so I'm attorney and I just call people and problems go away. Is anybody shocked that that guy was dirty?
I actually was curious to see if there was ever a day he did not commit a crime.
Right.
In his life from birth.
I am surprised that this is all they found. You know, it's like, I expected him to go, what? I don't know how those six bodies got into my trunk of my car. I have no idea. What?
I would have completely believed that.
Completely yeah. believed. If they were digging up his backyard, and I mean this sincerely, if they were digging up his backyard mm-hmm. and they found a skull I would not have been surprised.
If they hit the sewage tank before a skull, I would have been stunned. Yes.
Exactly right. You know? Oh, there was a crack in the basement of one of the Trump Towers. It was the basement that had the cage there in the for storage for Michael Cohen. Underneath the cement, there were like 1,400 people. No.
Definitely possible.
Okay, so it's actually good news. He's never killed anybody or buried bodies, which is an upgrade in my mind.
That we know of.
Now, he's going to go to prison, but it's probably going to be one of those, you know, college campus prisons. How do you get into those? I mean, if you're going to go to prison, I have two teenagers now. If I could find a way to go to prison, but it's like a campus prison, I think I'd be okay with that. Just until they're about 18 and out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, hey, kids, I would have loved to have been there for you with all your parent-teacher meetings, but daddy went to prison.
But you've done some nice weightlifting while you were there, so you're in good shape.
Okay, so anyway, he's going to be locked up. Federal judge sentenced him to 3 years in prison for financial crimes, 2 months for lying to Congress. They also ordered...
That one's frustrating. The lying to Congress as a crime is frustrating.
Because they lie to us all the time.
Right. They have immunity.
Right.
They can go on the Senate floor and say anything and not be prosecuted for it. Anything. Any accusation against any person. They can say whatever they want because I have immunity to go on the Senate floor or congressional floor and just start blabbing about whatever. That's why Harry Reid kept doing so many speeches, because he would go on there and completely lie about someone and no one could do anything about it.
You know, I hear Mitt Romney is a devil worshiper. There, it's out. I've said it. Now he's got to answer for it.
And then like 3 months later, he's on TV going, oh yeah, no, that wasn't true at all. No, of course not. But did he get elected? No, he did not. So it worked.
2 months for lying to Congress. Oh, can you imagine how satisfying it would be if we could just put all of them away for 2 months? Imagine. I think a lot of our problems would go away. Anyway.
That's why I like the government shutdown so much.
Me too.
Stay home.
I'm for it. As a lawyer, Mr. Cohen should have known better. This is what the judge said. While Mr. Cohen is taking steps to mitigate his criminal conduct by pleading guilty and volunteering useful information to prosecutors, that does not wipe the slate clean. What do you think he would have gotten if he didn't plead guilty and do a deal? He pled guilty in August to 8 criminal charges in 2 different cases, one brought by the special counsel Robert Mueller for Cohen's lying to Congress about a Trump Tower project in Moscow. The second was for bank fraud, tax and campaign finance violations brought up by federal prosecutors in New York. You know, it's really the federal prosecutors that are finding something substantial here. I mean, it's not Mueller. Do you think?
Well, he hasn't released anything yet.
Yeah,
we don't know what he's found.
So far. Mm-hmm. So far. President Trump said recently Cohen has simply been lying to get a reduced sentence for crimes that have nothing to do with him. Cohen was very emotional. He apologized to the judge. He said, it was my own weakness and blind loyalty to this man that led me to choose a path of darkness over light. Oh, my gosh.
That's pretty dramatic.
Let me tell you something, eh? My own weakness is blind loyalty to this man over there. And it led me to choose the path of darkness over light. You haven't dug up any concrete lately, have you? Time and time again, he said, I felt it was my duty to cover up his dirty deeds rather than to listen to my own inner voice and moral compass. I'm sorry, let me say that again without laughing. Rather than to listen to my own inner... I can't do it.
It's so impossible to take coming from him. I mean, he ever since he's been in the public eye, Michael Cohen, he has been a nonstop, blatant lying factory. And
there's no difference between him and Michael Avenatti.
Yeah, they're very similar people. I mean, they're on the same side, right? They'll say anything they have to say to try to, at the beginning for Cohen, defend Trump, and now it's destroy him. And that's why you can't take one word that he says seriously. If there's not backing evidence to every one of his claims, then the claims aren't real. You just have to assume. And Roger Stone's on this front, too. Anything that these guys say, you have to just immediately believe that there's nothing to them unless there's actual evidence. And if they don't have more than Michael Cohen saying these things happened, they don't have anything. Now, the speculation is they do have more. We'll see. You got to believe... They were so comfortable with each other, they probably said lots of things to each other. If there's evidence of those things, then there will be something to talk about. But as of now, until we actually see this evidence, I don't know what there is.
No, there's nothing. There's nothing. Now, the real story here, I think, is that the National Enquirer ran to change their story. Okay, as soon as he was sentenced, within a couple of hours, the National Enquirer was like, hey, what was it we were talking about before? Because I was on medication, and I think I might have gotten a few of those statements wrong with you. And so the National Enquirer came out and said, oh, you mean that payment to the Playboy model? Oh, we were thinking about something else entirely. Yes, we did pay hush money. We weren't really interested in her fitness program. So we did pay her hush money. Do you remember when the National Enquirer came out and all of a sudden this woman was on the, she was on the cover, wasn't she, for her fitness program? It was after the investigation started.
Yeah, they put her on actually one of their other publications covers.
Yes, yes, yes.
And she, it was, I think it was Men's, I want to say it was Men's Health.
Yeah.
And Men's Health never runs, like, they, that's not the type of cover they run. They showed all of them next to each other, and they're all just like dudes that are all, that have been working out a lot. And then there's just one in the middle, just a random Playboy model.
Yeah.
Like, that you've never heard of before. Like, right. Why would they be on the cover? I don't understand.
Now, this is because they were trying to cover their tracks, saying, we didn't pay hush up money to her. We were very interested in her health and fitness regime. And they did nothing about it. Mm-hmm. And then she started saying, hey, what about my health and fitness regime that you're so interested in? When the Fed started to investigate, lo and behold, they put her on the cover. See, look, that's, and what a coincidence. You're at my door asking about it, and I just happen to have this cover handy today. So yesterday after Cohen, they were like, oh, did we tell you that that wasn't connected to hush money? We're going to fire that. That was you. Well, I don't remember it that way, but we should talk about that because that's what we told you before is not what we did.
Because now it is confirmed that they are working with the prosecution here, right?
Or yes. And they changed their tune as soon as he was sentenced. Like 2 hours later, they were in the office going, yeah, we should talk. So we don't know exactly, except if, again, this is true, this one does matter. Because this one, they say they were working with the campaign and not with Donald Trump.
So there could be actual problems there.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's problems with the other one, but it's kind of like, this one is really crystal clear.
I'm kind of at the point of just interested in just historically all the stuff that happened. They're going to get this behind the scenes stuff that you wouldn't normally get from a presidential campaign. Like, I was thinking about this after the Inquirer stuff came down yesterday. At some point, there were multiple stories about Ted Cruz murdering his dad, murdering JFK. Mm-hmm. And remember the affair that Ted Cruz supposedly had with like 15 women, one of which was on the staff, the campaign staff of Donald Trump. They accused him of that. Both of those stories came out, you know, midst of that primary. If there's back and forth on that, that's going to be so fascinating to look at. Because I bet it was Michael Cohen's idea to say his dad murdered JFK. It's going to be so entertaining.
I don't know. That's even beneath Michael Cohen, don't you think? I mean, I was talking to Vito. I didn't even know he could speak. And he said, I think his dad murdered JFK. I'm just saying it might make a good story. Yeah.
And then it's on the cover of the Inquirer the next week. Or the affair thing, which obviously nothing ever came of. But like the spokesperson for the Trump campaign was in that. Now, if you're working directly with Trump and trying to do the best thing you can for Trump, right? You're not going to put his spokesperson in the middle of an accusation about an affair. I swear someone else in the campaign was like, you know who I hate is that spokesperson. Put her in there, too. I can't, this is going to be fascinating.
Okay. 1 minute away for more content. Let me... have you noticed that it's gotten a little colder outside? Baby, it's cold outside. Let me rape you. Anyway,
that's the second verse of the song, and that is highly publicized.
You need to change your home filters in your heater or, you know, in your HVAC system, because it really
you know, it's like the one thing you have to do as an adult.
Shut up.
And even that, I'm not bashing you on this one. I'm just as bad. If there's not filter by sent to my house, there's no way I'm remembering it.
I never.
And then one
never.
Day you just like your whole house burns down. You're like, what yeah. happened? They're like, oh, you didn't change your filter for 6 years.
That actually happened to me. Well, the house didn't burn down, but the guy came to, you know, the guy came because we had problems with the air conditioning. And he was like, you know, have you guys ever thought about changing your filters? And I'm like, no, not once. Anyway, FilterBuy. Go to filterbuy.com. FilterBuy, America's leading provider of HVAC filters for homes and small businesses. Choose from one over 600 sizes, all made here in America. Custom options. They ship for free within 24 hours. So if you need one now, you can get one. But also, I highly recommend this. You'll get 5% off if you order an auto subscribe. So you subscribe for auto replacement. They come to your door when you're supposed to change it. So you're like, oh, yeah, I got to do that thing again. Save 5% when you subscribe. Set it and forget about it. Never think about your filters ever, ever again. I know you haven't been thinking about them before, but now you can think about them once and then forget about it. And also get the clean air for your family. Not have huge repair bills, you know, and be a man. I'm just saying, man's work. What was it that Rudolph's dad said? Or I think it was, yeah, Rudolph's dad. No, this is man's work. Remember when he left the cave to go find, oh, where's Rudolph? I gotta go too. No, this is man's work. You stay home, change the filters.
That place had the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer at North Pole was like Mad Men. Like, I just feel like Santa's
really
walking around
was.
Like slapping people's butts as they walk by.
Hey, Chick-a-bay. all right. Anyway, filterbuy.com. Filterbuy.com. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. We have Jason Buttrill in with us, and Jason is one of our head researcher on all things foreign and all of the threats against the country. And he came in yesterday, and this is why I love him. He said, have you read the Farm Bill? I'm like, no, and neither has any senator. But he started doing some research on this, and it is as bad as everybody is thinking that it is. We're going to do a special on it next week, just in time for Christmas. And we thought it was appropriate because it'll make you turn right white, and it is full of red. It is a socialist utopia. And Ted Cruz voted for it, by the way.
It's not just him. It was no, 80 there was senators,
13,
right?
Only 13 stood against it.
Right.
I would say that about Mike Lee if he would have voted for it. I would have said it about Rand Paul if he would have voted for it.
Who didn't?
Yeah, Thomas Massie. You know, I would say this about any of these guys who we like, and are, you know, supposed to be standing for the Constitution. This thing is loaded with really bad things.
This looks like FDR's ghost rose out of the grave and was like, I wanted one more thing I wanted in the New Deal. I want this farm bill. And so they voted for it and they did it. That's how bad this thing looks. Expanded welfare, Obama era like food stamp policies. They just basically gave it a shining, ringing endorsement. You don't work requirements, a lot of things like that the GOP again told us they were going to put in into some of these measures. They completely caved on, just said, ah, screw it, and just let them do it as such. Price controls. There's a minimum price. There's like a minimum price to where if you don't meet the minimum price, then you instantly get flooded with government subsidies. You could actually be like a dairy farmer like just say, you know what? I'm just not going to go to work this month because I'm tired and I want to watch soap operas and stuff. And then if you didn't make the money as the guy that worked, you know, 80 hours a day, if there was such a thing, and like his fingers are literally bled to the bone, and he's going to get the same amount of money as the guy that said, screw it, I don't want to work. I mean, this is absolutely like, you know, Stalin, Lenin era, you know, like farm practices, like countries that have done things like this. It hasn't gone too well, typically.
Now, usually people starve. But, you know, let's not worry about that. There's also some pretty interesting things about the war powers. Now, can I ask you a question, Stu? What do farmers have to do with the war powers?
Well, all farms, when you become a farmer, you learn that we should be able to invade Yemen at any time. That's the first really? Lesson of
so farmers are
seeds.
Very, they're very, very upset about the Yemen thing.
Yeah.
And they want to make sure that we continue the war
That's
in Yemen.
That's what all farmers want.
Damn those farmers.
Yeah, really strange part of that. Thomas Massey was the guy who drew my attention to that. And he, basically, it's a little clause that they popped in at the last second that says currently we are aiding Saudi Arabia in their war with Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
And with, you know, as far as the War Powers Act goes, it does not seem like that would be legal. we have, I believe, 90 days before yeah. we're supposed to answer
yeah,
to Congress.
We shouldn't be fighting a war yeah. that no one knows about.
Right.
Right.
Now, their excuse for this is, well, we're just giving support. We're not engaging in hostility, so we can stay as long as we want.
Well, then it wouldn't be covered with the War Powers Act now, would it?
That's what they're trying to claim initially. Mm-hmm. However, if they really believe that, it would be curious as to why in the Farm Bill, which you're right, every single time they put up there, it's some giant socialist program. And it is a, if you're a libertarian, it's like the type of thing that like makes your heart stop as it gets passed. However, it always gets passed because you can't say you don't like farmers.
Yeah.
Everyone will just put you as anti-farmer. So everyone votes for it all the time. At least most people. But in this one, they put in basically a way to make it so the War Powers Act would not apply, and could not be influenced, because right now, Mike Lee and Bernie Sanders working together have come to put up a bill that says, hey, we can't just do this. We have to vote on the War Powers Act. This is binding. We need to do something about this. This basically would clear them of that responsibility. So,
and you can see the connection.
Bill,
yeah, you can see the connection between asparagus and the War Powers Act.
Yeah.
I think we can all see that.
Yemeni asparagus is particularly
it's
delicious.
Really, yeah. You know, it's got to be grown in the sand. So what day do we do this expose?
I think we're going to do it on either Tuesday or Wednesday.
Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. You don't want to miss it. And I do believe that the ghost of FDR will be visiting us. It's a Christmas ghost. It's weird. He will be visiting on that episode.
Oh, no.
You don't want...
That means yes. I'm dressing up, doesn't it?
Yes! Yes! Back in just a minute.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
No, we're really going to have FDR's ghost, Stu. We really are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. I want to talk to you a little bit about Relief Factor. It was a year ago, either this week or next week, I think it's next week, that I started taking Relief Factor. And I was at the end of my rope. I just said to my wife, I cannot take the pain. She said, just try it for 3 weeks. Try it for 3 weeks. If it doesn't work, stop taking it. So I started taking it for 3 weeks. At the end of 3 weeks, I admit she was right. And it has changed my life. I feel like I have my life back. It's 100% drug-free, created by doctors, four key ingredients that help fight against inflammation in your body. So if you are in pain just because of, you know, the old sports injuries or the war injuries or whatever injury it was, just being stupid, Relief Factor will help. Try it now for a three-week quick start, relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com.
Did you know that The Blaze and CRTV have merged, and now you can get
what?
Shows like Louder with Crowder and Eric Bowling and all sorts of stuff?
Whoa.
Use the promo code BeckChristmas at BlazeTV.com.
Welcome to the program.
Which program?
The Glenn Beck program.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
Yeah, it's great. And Pat Gray joins us at this time.
What program does he host?
He hosts Pat Gray Unleashed.
Where is that air? What is that? What is that?
On the
right
Blaze.
Before this show.
Blaze Radio Network. Mm-hmm. You can also hear it on podcast.
Or Blaze TV, part mm-hmm. of your subscription.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my mm-hmm. goodness.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Can you get a Blaze TV subscription nowadays?
You can. You only can choose from one of 947,000 shows, though.
Really?
So you can any,
wow.
yeah,
if like you, if you like Louder with Crowder,
right? You can get
or Mark Levin,
mm-hmm.
Eric Bowling,
mm-hmm. Phil Robertson, you know, Pat Gray,
the news roving millennial
or roaming, whatever she could be rove or roam, whichever one she likes.
Yeah, she's Canadian. She says roaming, we say roving down
okay.
here.
Okay,
okay. So anyway, you can subscribe to blazetv.com. That's blazetv.com/Beck. If you go there, type in your promo code Beck Christmas. You can try it out for a few days and just poke around and see what we have to offer. It's a ton. But if you do it now, use the promo code Beck Christmas and you're going to save $20 when you sign up. Makes a great Christmas gift. And hopefully we have something special coming next week that hopefully I'll be able to tell you about. Been working on something for a few weeks and everybody said it couldn't be done. And then last night, after I had given up, somebody called me up and said, hey, let's do that thing. And I'm like, don't know if we can. So
probably is this the Glenn Beck swimsuit calendar? I know people were saying that you shouldn't do it, but you are. That's going to be free with a subscription.
Clamoring for it
in 2019.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that could be part of your subscription. And we'll let you know. Pat Gray.
Mm hmm.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
You are upset always, every day.
No, yes. No, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited about the head of Google and everything that he's doing and wants to do and continues to do.
Right. Because they're completely neutral, you know.
Well,
and trustworthy.
Yes, he's not biased.
No.
He runs his company based on the fact that he's not biased.
Right.
And of course, their motto itself is don't be evil. So, well, you know, they can't be.
No, they changed that.
They did change
that. Yeah, they did change
So I guess now they can be evil.
They can be evil. They're like, you know what? We are doing a lot of evil things.
No, it was too hard. Yeah.
That's a pretty harsh line. Pretty harsh line.
Yesterday, he testified that, you know, your concerns about AI are very legitimate. However, the tech industry should be trusted to responsibly regulate themselves.
Yes.
I agree with that 100%. Because again, they used to have a motto that was don't be evil. So
right. People who are evil, like, okay, the devil comes back. Okay, let's just say the Antichrist comes to Earth. He's not going to have that motto.
Right. No, he's not.
He's not.
No, he is not.
No.
He might, although he might say he does.
What do you mean?
he might actually say.
No, the devil, when you're evil, you have to
admit it.
It's like, are you an undercover cop? You have to say.
You have to say yes. Yes,
so
I am.
Are you the Antichrist? He has to say yes. Okay. Are you doing evil? Yes, we are.
Yes, okay, yes, you caught me. Okay. Dang it. I'm here to destroy mankind. Oh, you caught me.
Call me again, a Scooby-Doo fan, that mystery machine, every time.
Wasn't it your conversation with, what's his face?
developer
of the AI.
Ray
Kurzweil.
Kurzweil, yeah.
And his thing was, we're just going to develop it, and there are no concerns because our culture at Google is such that we wouldn't do anything
wrong. We'll never do these things. That's what he said. We'll never do these things. And I said, when in the history of mankind
has that worked?
Yeah.
Name then, one time.
Right.
Well, now, because it's better now.
Because we're Google.
Right.
We're Google. Yeah.
And that's not enough for me.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. That seems to be lacking.
What if
in
they
some
had
way?
Hugo Boss design some snappy uniforms for everybody at Google?
Do they look really cool?
They look really cool.
And they hold up through history? Well, then I think you'll let them.
Because nobody would dress like that.
No.
If they were evil.
No, that's right.
Right.
That's right.
Okay.
So, you know, they're specifically evil when they start dressing like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he got to talking about Google's AI as it applies to filtering out some of the hate, the hate speech and the
important work. Important work.
He said he has found through these algorithms some hateful conspiratorial YouTube videos, and he described them as abhorrent, and he indicated that the company is going to work harder to improve its systems to get rid of this stuff. Things like one of the videos he mentioned was one that's real popular, I think, among all conservatives. It's the one where Hillary Clinton and Uma Abedin attacked, killed, and drank the blood of a young girl.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've all been all over that video.
How many
times have we played that?
Yeah, finally it's out.
Thank you.
Somebody in the midst of such a relief that's finally talking about how Hillary Clinton drinks blood of children.
And Uma and Hillary were both, killing and drinking the blood of the girl.
Is that typical, partisan spin, though? Are they trying to say they only drank the blood of one girl?
Yeah.
Is that what they're trying to say? Come on now.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. And we all know. They won't cover this. That they're only drinking the remaining blood that the Jews didn't make into matzah.
Because of the Jewish cabal,
you know, you can never say that.
Here's the thing about these algorithms. I don't need the algorithm to tell me that YouTube video isn't necessarily factually based.
Wait a minute.
Can you not at least give the American people credit?
Nope.
So we need these algorithms.
No, of course we do.
And that's good. That's good that AI is going to clean up all this stuff. So all the, you know, killing and drinking of blood of girls from our politicians, those videos are going to go away.
So think about this. Think about this. Because we used to say, hey, listen, it was on Walter Cronkite. Absolutely. It was on Walter Cronkite. I heard him say it.
Yeah.
The more they take these algorithms and they say, yes, we're taking away all of the things that aren't true, the more weak our mind becomes, because we're not searching for those things ourselves, the more we trust them.
The less capable we will be.
Correct.
At discerning that.
And the more we will say, look, the algorithm would have taken that out if it wasn't true.
Right.
I mean, we just become lambs for the slaughter. And Google is so brilliant, just brilliant. I learned this from who was it? The guy who did the Creepy Line movie, I think. And he was talking about maybe it was in one of the books. I can't remember. But look at the Google homepage. When you go to Google, what's on the page of Google? Go to their homepage.
Just the search.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Go now to Yahoo.
Totally clean.
Oh, yeah. There's all sorts of stuff on Yahoo.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's got politics. It has news. It has advertising. Right. It has all of these things. Google kept it clean because they wanted to say, we're completely neutral. We're nothing. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to do anything here at all.
No ads.
You can trust us.
Yeah. It's brilliant. That is their
uniform from Hugo Boss. Their front page is their uniform.
Which they've not changed since it was debuted, I think, in 97
because
or 98.
They don't
Hasn't
want,
changed a bit.
They don't want you. They want you to see the word Google and what you're looking for. So it's your friend.
That is brilliant.
It never pisses you off.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant strategy, and it's a great hiding place.
And it works so well that we continue to use it even though we know we probably shouldn't. Mm-hmm. How many times have we tried to get away from Google stuff? And you can't, because every time you try a different engine, it doesn't work as well. And you're like, okay, I'm just going to Google it. Right? I mean, that's what I do every time. I've tried Bing. I've tried, you know, Yahoo.
It's like
Lycos. You
know, it's like
Ask Jeeves. it just don't work.
It's like Google has become a verb where, like, Kleenex just means to us tissue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And people, it's tissue. It's tissue paper. It's not Kleenex. Kleenex is a brand. How did that happen other than they must have been out in the market for a long time before anybody caught on that, hey, wiping a little box is a good thing. Here, you could have a tissue, and it could be, I don't even know who makes tissues besides Kleenex, but I know everybody who's, you know, that does. But we still call it Kleenex. Google is so far ahead of their competition. It's like if Kleenex competitors were like cardboard. You'd have a cardboard box, and you'd reach in and you'd pull out another piece of cardboard. You'd be like, okay, can I have the Kleenex? Because it doesn't do it.
Yeah.
There's nothing that is even close, I think, to
Again,
Google.
It's so immersive, though. I mean, because if we say Google and we need an alternative, we will get 1,400 calls for people saying, I use DuckDuckGo, which is another search engine. And DuckDuckGo does actually seem to be pretty good. And every time I've used it on Chrome. the Google browser, which doesn't do me any good at all. I don't think.
That's the only reason why they have the browser. Because they know you will escape someplace else. It's why I said to Ray Kurzweil, so Ray, why would a company like Google allow me to Google things or allow me to find things that could dismantle them? If I was going to make a new thing, I couldn't do it online because you'd be monitoring everything. And why wouldn't it be in the best interest of the company to make sure that I'm thwarted some way or another, or that I'm watched and you guys just take it?
And was his answer, they just wouldn't?
They just wouldn't.
They just wouldn't.
They just wouldn't.
They're just too good. The culture at Google is too good.
Well, they're not evil.
All right.
They're not evil.
That's when you're dangerous, though, right? When you think you're so good and your goals are so wonderful, it's when these really terrible decisions get made. It's because you're sure the end game, I know I'm right on. So, yeah, we have to cut corners here and there.
That's why the creepy line is so spooky. Because they came out and said, look, we know there's this creepy line, and we're going to go right up to that line, but never over it.
Right.
Well, that line is probably pretty gray. You know what I mean? Let's know. I don't know about you, but when I'm paying my taxes and stuff, I don't say, I want to go right up to where I'm going to go to jail, right, but no further.
This is essentially the decision-making process of Joe Biden whenever he sees someone in a biker outfit. He's like, I got to go right up to the creepy line and not cross it. But he doesn't know where the creepy line is. He constantly is over it.
Yeah.
I guarantee having him sit on your lap is past the creepy line.
But not for Joe.
Not for Joe.
Not for Joe. Thanks a lot, Pat. Simply Safe Home Security. I think they had 5 or 6 employees when they first started on this program. They're now a billion-dollar company, and they're I think they're going to soon be launching worldwide. And I'm so happy for them. These guys are American engineers and American entrepreneurs who have just really struggled to do the right thing. One of their partners actually, I think, is a Marxist, one of the people that works there. And every time I talk to her, she's like, I'm so frustrated because the capitalist system works all the time. I'm like, yes, it does.
Very frustrating.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. But they're just great, great people. And they have worked to build this system that is, you're in control of it. It is the greatest capitalist kind of system. You are in control of your system. You own it. You're going to see how much less expensive it is than everybody else's. Higher quality. There's no wires. There's no contracts. You can come and go as you please. Hey, I want you to monitor my house because I'm going on vacation. They can monitor that, and then you can cancel and say, okay, I'm back home. I don't need it anymore. And you pay for that, $14.99 a month. That's it. It's simplysafebeck.com. Go there now. They've got a great holiday offer waiting for you. Simplysafebeck.com. Simplysafebeck.com. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. There is a story that came out of Alabama that I'm just, it's so unsettling. Story about this 9-year-old girl, Mackenzie Adams, who was bullied in school. She's black, and she was bullied because she had a white friend. And you're not supposed to have a white friend. And her black friends were bullying, and her, I guess, white friends were bullying, and she committed suicide. She's 9. 9.
Just devastating.
Oh, my heart breaks for this family, and the family of her 9-year-old friend. Now imagine being her friend. I don't care what color you are, and your friend committed suicide because they were being mocked and ridiculed for being your friend. This is so horrible. We have the aunt of Mackenzie on, or as we like to say in the West, the aunt of the Mackenzie on with us. We're going to talk to her in about an hour and 10 minutes. And you don't want to miss that. Don't want to miss
that. So it's a silent U then? It's just like they just put the U in there for, you know, no real reason.
Yeah, it pretty much is.
Aunt. Mm-hmm. And because ant's a word already, so yeah. we know how to spell that.
So yeah, but where's the U in pajamas?
Well, there's not a U in pajamas. There's
all right. Mm-hmm. So why isn't it pajamas?
Because so you want both the A's to be pronounced differently.
Yes.
Ah. Uh-huh. Pajamas.
Uh-huh. That's
instead
the way
of pajamas.
Right. That's the way. That's the way the English language works.
Pajamas.
Yes, no pajamas. Agree. You can you
pajamas.
It makes absolutely no sense. Some things are pronounced entirely different, even though
true.
They're spelled exactly the same.
It
doesn't
true.
Matter.
Doesn't matter. We did that quiz on the air one day from the New York Times. It's worth going back if you haven't done that, because if you just say what your preference is on how you pronounce things, they can like locate exactly where you grew up. Just based on like the different ways you pronounce things or the different terms you use, like highway
and
versus
it becomes,
freeway.
It becomes really specific.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really crazy how it can mark right where you grew up. It's crazy.
Weird.
Yeah, yeah, it's really crazy. All right. Back in just a second with Chad Felix Green and Leon Wolf. We want to tell you about a new movie that is coming up, actually about a friend of ours, Abby Johnson. She was a woman who had two abortions, and she worked with Planned Parenthood. She was a staunch supporter of abortion. Her husband even was like, Abby. She rose up through the ranks. She became a director of the clinic where she worked. And then it all changed when she saw what was really happening at the higher levels. And she was called in to a room where an abortion was taking place. Mm. It changed for her.
And she's been an activist and really an important voice ever since. This movie is important for you to see. Go to unplannedfilm.com. Unplannedfilm.com. You can read Abby's story. You can check out the videos. You can even lend your support. It's very cool.
Coming out in theaters next spring, but they really need your support now to help get the word out. It's unplannedfilm.com. Unplannedfilm.com.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
America, I need you to brace yourself. Okay? Just brace yourself. We're going to have a conservative on, and sure, that's not unusual. But in 1 minute, we are going to have a gay conservative on.
What?
I didn't even know they existed, and the left is saying that if you're gay and conservative, you just need to shut up. And I think that's the words most uttered by anti-fascists. Mm-hmm. A fascinating story, a fascinating tale from one of the guys who is a contributor at The Federalist. He wrote a piece a couple of days ago. The stigma against my conservative politics is worse than the stigma of my being gay. Oh, my gosh. That was setting hair on fire everywhere. We go there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So, Stu, I don't know if you, saw this, but here's one number at the bank, one number that the feds don't want you to know about: $250 trillion. Forget that number. You know what that number is?
I do not.
That is the global debt right now.
$250 trillion.
Trillion.
That is more more money than all the money in the world.
Yeah, I think by five times, I think.
Hmm.
Yeah. So
that's not a big deal, though.
Yeah, no.
You can make that
I
up.
Think global GDP is $50 trillion.
Know, raise taxes on the wealthy. That'll do it.
Oh, that'll do it. You're right. You're right. You're right. So we are we're in a little bit of trouble. Rocky road. In fact, I Facebook post something this morning. I'm starting something next year that I want to bring to your attention. I'm going to be focusing on eight specific issues. They all kind of revolve around the economy and what is coming. And I urge you to pay attention to what is happening in the economy. And the Dow is a good indication that things are not stable. With that being said, the best insurance you can have against insanity is gold. Gold or silver, please look and find out if precious metals is right for you. Somebody asked me the other day, what would you put your money in? I will tell you, 10% of whatever you have should be in gold. I don't care if that's $100 or $100,000 or $1 million, you should have 10% of your money in gold.
You're not exactly a financial advisor, but that's something to consider.
I think that's really reasonable.
Yeah.
Some people say 20%. Mm-hmm. Nobody says zero. I believe 10%. It's what I do. Now, you talk to the advisors and talk to everybody else. Call Goldline and find out if it's right for you. Goldline.com. That's Goldline.com. Please prepare. 2019, 2020 is going to be incredibly rocky. Goldline.com or 866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-GOLDLINE or Goldline.com. The stigma against my conservative politics is worse than the stigma of being gay. Everything I was told to fear about being openly gay has become a reality in being openly conservative. Chad Felix Green wrote this story in The Federalist, and we have him now to talk not only about the article, but also the backlash on the article. Chad, how are you?
Good.
Good.
Thank you.
Welcome to the program. So you are tell me your evolution. Tell me, you know, when you came out, what you faced, what you feared when you came out.
Well, I came out in 1998, shortly after Ellen did. And I was the first openly gay student in my high school. And it was a huge, dramatic issue. And everything that I had access to at that time was gay media that told me that I was going to be rejected by my family, my friends. I was in physical danger. And I was terrified every day about the impending doom that was going to happen to me. And over the years, I really only experienced people being accepting and loving and careful and sort of fragile around me for most of my experience. And I was very liberal in college. And then honestly, listening to, I started to explore you and Ann Coulter, and I realized that the foundation of my views leaned more towards libertarianism than progressivism. Mm-hmm. And I just sort of became a conservative by the sheer force of, I had no other choice because I couldn't promote or accept progressive ideas.
Yeah, and you can't change what you believe. It becomes fundamental to you. So Chad, do you actually mean that the stigma is worse because you're a conservative than it was when you came out in 99?
Absolutely. When I came out, people thought they were concerned about me. My grandmother, who was a very religious Christian, was worried about my religious experience. My dad was worried that I was going to get hurt, that I was going to become HIV positive, that sort of thing. There were a lot of, what is your life going to be like now? Because people at that time really didn't see much of a life as an adult for a gay person. You kind of moved to a big city, disappeared. And there was a lot of understanding that needed to happen. People just needed to experience me, mm-hmm, as a person and realize how normal and average I was. Mm-hmm. As a conservative, I experienced genuine hatred based on stereotypes and bigotry and prejudices.
Okay, so wait, before you start there, you were a liberal when you came out. And so you didn't have any of the conservative hate on you because you were, you know, trying to destroy our society because you're a liberal and, you know, all of that stuff. Or, you know, none of the conservative hate that, you know, you're going to burn in the fires of hell and you should be destroyed.
I certainly perceived it from watching, from reading LGBT media. And that's the reason why I started to explore conservative media, because I really wanted to, I wanted to read your books, I wanted to read Ann Coulter books, John Handy, everybody, and debunk everything. I wanted to prove that the right was hateful and wrong, and accidentally realized that I agreed with you. but the truth is that nobody treated me, I experienced people who disagreed with me, I experienced people who were ignorant, that didn't really understand. I've never interpreted religious disagreement as hatred, because I've always seen it coming from a place of genuine concern and, mm-hmm, and empathy. But
you also don't deny that there are those people who are out there, and, you know, I mean, the Westboro Baptist Church, but it is bigger than that. There are a lot of people who have been gay throughout, you know, the human experience, that have been, you know, deeply affected and hurt and persecuted because of their homosexuality. Okay.
And of course, in the world right now, outside of the United States, it is a very real danger to be a gay person or perceived to be a gay person.
Correct. All right. So what have you experienced now as a conservative?
Well, the truth is that since I've been active online as a conservative, I spend most of my time trying to explain to people that I don't believe or embrace what they think I do. And in doing so, attempting to prevent them from trying to harm me in some way. I've, of course, been physically threatened, as all conservatives online are. I've had to make sure that my personal life is very protected because people do actively try to get you fired. They will try to they'll send police officers to your house. They will harass your friends and family. Early on, when my Facebook was opened, my friends and family received harassment from people based on things that I said. I had to protect all of that. No one ever did that to me as a gay person. I never experienced people saying, finding out that I was gay and then treating me badly. The moment that people associate me with being a conservative, I'm instantly a Nazi, even though I'm Jewish. I'm instantly a racist and a bigot, and I'm deserving of genuine hatred. And that's a startling experience to interact with people and realize that they genuinely hate you based on something that they genuinely don't understand about you.
All right, so I want to stop here for a second, Chad, and then I want to come back, and I want you to take us through some of the things like stop flaunting your conservatism and some of the responses that you have had, because I read the article, and then I read the storm after it, and I was shocked by some of the things that I read, and they just don't seem to get it, and I want to go there when we come back. 1 minute away. I want to tell you about our sponsor. It's X Chair. The support and comfort of the X Chair made a huge difference in the comfort while doing this show for the 3 hours that we do it every day. I mean, we're busting our butts to bring you a high quality show at least once a week, and we're sitting the entire time. Mm-hmm. So we need a very comfortable chair for all of this back breaking.
Well, we need to be pampered a little bit.
Labor. Thank you.
That's what we do here.
So X-Chair launching a brand new model for a limited time, only available to this audience right now at xchairbeck.com. Most of the Super X chairs have so many adjustments on it. I tell you, it's like a spaceship. They have so many things. You can dial in exactly the perfect fit. X-Chair Basic has kind of brought it down to, the stuff that you really need. The critical magic of the dynamic variable lumbar support. You'll get the height adjustment. You get the optional headrest. You get the rocking tension control, which is the best I've ever experienced, all at an introductory price. So it's a lot less expensive, even though these chairs are for what they are, not expensive. This is a lot less. And it's a great chair. Makes a great personal Christmas gift for yourself or for your spouse or for a great employee. It's X Chair. On sale now at $100 off. Go to xchairbeck.com. That's the letter xchairbeck.com or call 844-4-X-CHAIR. X Chair comes with 30-day no questions asked guarantee of complete satisfaction. It's xchairbeck.com. Use the promo code BECK and you'll also get a free footrest at xchairbeck.com. This is the Glenn Beck program. We're talking to Chad Felix Green. He wrote the article in The Federalist, "The Stigma Against My Conservative Politics is Worse Than the Stigma of Being Gay." Tell me about Stop Flaunting Your Conservatism.
So one thing that people say constantly, and you'll tell a lot of this when someone asked, is being conservative worse than being gay, was, no, being conservative means you're a bad person. I'm often told, well, if you don't want to experience the hatred, stop being a bigot or stop harassing people who you hate from their perception. And I always sort of associated that with, if I just stopped talking about conservative issues, if I just stopped correcting lies and inaccuracies that I see in media, if I just stopped talking back to the left, they would leave me alone. And that's exactly the advice that I got when I was younger. And I would tell people I was gay, and I feared a negative backlash. People say, well, why do you have to tell everybody? Just don't tell anybody. It's no one's business. That's what I experienced today is in my regular life. Most people don't, you know, most people I know aren't interested in politics, but they'll say, well, why do you do it then? Why don't you just stop? And there isn't an appreciation of what we actually do. They just assume that we're sort of complaining about the hatred that we're inviting on ourselves. And they don't really understand that we are fighting for something that we actually believe in, and that the hatred that we're getting for it is based on fighting.
But they'll say that, you know, you're gay, you're born that way, you have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not political viewpoint.
Right.
Take that argument apart.
I think that's a huge concept here is people saying, well, you can stop being conservative, or they assume that I'm conservative because I am self-hating, or because I'm ignorant in some way, or because I haven't been exposed to the right type of people, that I will get better and become progressive. And the reason that I used that analogy, that I didn't choose to be conservative, is based on my personal experience of I fought it every step of the way. I refused to use the...
I love that, Chad, because this is, you are intellectually honest, and the biggest problem that we have in America is a lot of people will not explore, because they'll start to, and if they start to see that maybe their side is weak, and I mean on both sides, any side, they start to see that maybe they're not right, they'll stop, because they instinctively know, if I find out that this is true, then I've got to change everything and my life is going to be much different, and they don't want to do it. They're afraid. So congratulations on not being that person. Anyway.
Well, thank you. It would have been a whole lot easier if I had.
But, yeah, I bet it would. I bet it would.
But no, I realized that the foundation of LGBT is progressivism. You can't escape that. And, you know, I have a husband, and that didn't come from conservative ideas. That came from progressive pushing. But the foundation of progressivism denies liberty. It denies individuality. It denies freedom. And that's where I realized that I had a significant breaking point. I kind of will talk about it, the left and the right today, as the left as being progressivism, and everyone who doesn't agree with progressivism finds themselves on the right. And as I explored these ideas and tried to challenge them, I realized I am pro-life. I am pro-gun, in that I think you should be able to defend yourself. You know, I am smaller government. I don't want to depend on the government for everything. I don't want to give all of my money to the government for these kinds of things. And so in a way, I really don't believe that it's as simple as this is too hard, I could just become a liberal. I would be lying if mm-hmm. I did that. Mm-hmm. Being conservative is the consequence of my intellectual honesty about what I believe.
It's great. We're talking to Chad Felix Green of The Federalist. And something interesting happened, I think, Chad, with the wording of the headline of your story, which is the stigma against my conservative politics is worse than the stigma of being gay. And it didn't identify in the headline that you are gay. Actually gay. And what it led to, at least what I saw online, was an army of straight liberal people trying to teach you a lesson of what it means to be gay and what it's like for people who went through that experience. What is it like to get hit up by a bunch of straight liberals and giving you lessons on being gay?
It's very common. I'm always assumed to be a straight white Christian based on my looks. It's an interesting, you know, I have red hair, and I am just assumed. And so it's become a running joke that I will simply respond by saying gay Jew. because people just they come in with the assumption the only people who are bad fall into this category, and the only people who think like this are bad, therefore you must be one of those people. And I constantly, you know, we talk about identity politics as a negative thing. I actually use my privilege as somebody who is a minority to sort of force many on the left to realize that they are closed-minded on this, that this isn't a worldview that is exclusive to ignorance or that's exclusive to any particular race or religion or anything, that this is, you know, me being gay and Jewish does not impact my views on, you know, tax policy. And that they have to address their own prejudices and realize that they simply disagree with what's the reality is. They disagree with what I'm promoting, but it has nothing to do with who I am. And that's what I'm trying to get across when I do that.
You also said lumping Milo in with typical conservatives. Talk a little bit about that.
Oh, well, you know, to every gay conservative and every conservative, Milo is controversial. I appreciated him early on because he was kind of the Lady Gaga, the Madonna of our of the movement. And, you know, if we went back a decade or so ago and he were a liberal, he'd be a media sensation. This, his type of flamboyance and comedy is what South Park and Family Guy and liberal humor was. And I appreciated that he pushed the boundaries of the freedom of speech limits, and he kind of exposed the fact that colleges were growing more intolerant. But I don't always find him to be principled as a conservative. I find him to be more of a contrarian, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. There's a place for that. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that I am compared to him, and every gay conservative is, and we are, in a lot of ways, the very concept different. That we are valid in the, to begin with is based on him as a template, and they view him as a scam artist. So one of the stereotypes that I fight all the time is that I'm doing this for attention, or I'm doing this as a scam or a con, that this isn't really, I don't know what they think I'm gaining from it, but that I'm doing this in a provocative way just to be provocative. And so I find that frustrating. And so when they look at Milo's sort of extreme expression, they say, well, that's just what conservatives are like. He's just honest about it. And it's frustrating because we spend so much of our time trying to dispel a lot of the mythology around that.
And you know, what's interesting is this is what happens. This is the difference between conservatives, hopefully, conservatives and progressives. One is a group hive mind that everybody has to be in a bucket and everybody is alike and there's no differences. And hopefully libertarian conservatives know, no, we're all different. I don't answer for him and I don't agree with him, but we're kind of on the same side on this particular issue and we're not on this issue. I applaud your article and your courage to say it, and the beating that you have taken is truly remarkable, but keep speaking, keep standing. From The Federalist, it's Chad Felix Green. The article, The Stigma Against My Conservative Politics, Worse Than the Stigma, I'm going to add, of My Being Gay. Back in a minute.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
You know, I told you a few minutes ago that I haven't felt this same kind of feeling since about 2007 when it comes to unrest and the economy in particular. I think 2019, 2020 are game changing and game on. I was in a meeting early this morning and I said, I feel as though everything I did at Fox is now complete. And now it begins. And I just want to remind you that in a world that goes crazy, in a world that has forest fires and hurricanes and earthquakes and everything else, please be prepared. Go to My Patriot Supply. Lowest price of the year on two popular emergency food kits. Go to preparewithglenn.com. Do it now. Preparewithglenn.com. Get the special lowest price of the year. My Patriot Supply. Preparewithglenn.com. Do it now.
Now is the time to subscribe to Blaze TV. Use Beck Christmas as the code, and you'll get $20 off. Go do it now.
I've been sleeping on my Casper mattress for a while, and I would pick it over any mattress that I have ever had. In fact, I did pick it. I bought it, sent it to my house. I tried it for, I think, 5 days. I actually was honest, which I don't know if everybody appreciates this, but I said, I'm not sure I like it. Well, it took me a few more days before I really started to have my body settle down. I love this bed. It is Casper. It's a no-brainer. All you have to do is just order it and try it for 100 nights. If you don't have the experience that I have, they come and pick it up and they refund every single dime. So put Casper to the test in your home. The only way to test a mattress is by sleeping on it night after night, risk-free. For 100 nights, Casper.com/Glenn and use the promo code GLENN. That'll get you $50 towards the purchase of your brand new mattress at Casper.com/Glenn. Promo code Glenn. Get $50 off the purchase of select mattresses at Casper.com/Glenn. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. Leon Wolf is the managing editor for TheBlaze.com. He's in to talk to us a little bit about Michael Cohen, and also, if we have time, China and Canada, because this is extraordinarily revealing, and I think China just caught on to what Donald Trump and America may actually be doing with this trade war. Let's start with Michael Cohen.
Sure, let's do it.
So yesterday he was sentenced to 3 years.
Right.
And what is the important part of this to you?
The important part is not just Cohen, but of course the company that produces the National Enquirer also basically mm-hmm. entered a plea agreement. So you have two people now, both friendly to Trump, previously very loyal to Trump, who have admitted basically in sworn statements and plea agreements that they were ordered by Donald Trump to commit felonies.
Now, the National Enquirer came out and kind of changed their story a bit. And it's my understanding that this one is we were working with the campaign, not necessarily Donald Trump directly, which changes it and makes it even more significant, does it not?
It does. And so people struggle to understand this. And I was talking with Jason Buttrell about this just before I came on here. People don't understand why is this a campaign finance violation. Can they prove that it came through the campaign? It's actually the fact that the money didn't go through the campaign is what makes it a campaign finance violation. Because it's a legitimate campaign expense to spend money to protect the reputation of the candidate, right? But that's the purpose of the money expenditure. If you're going to do that, you have to either declare it as a campaign expenditure or the people who make the expenditure have to report it as a contribution in kind. One of those two things has to happen. Neither of them did happen. It was clearly designed to evade the reporting requirements of the FEC, and that's what makes it a campaign finance violation in this case.
And so they're both of them are making the case that they were doing this at a request from Donald Trump. And so it's as I understand this, and you're a former attorney, so you right. you know this. You're not only
in campaign finance, right?
Yeah, I did campaign finance for over 2 years.
Okay.
That's almost exclusively what I did.
So when it comes to this, it's a felony because if I told Stu, hey, go kill this person, I'm being held just as culpable for the murder as he is, correct?
Right. And, you know, look, in any campaign, any presidential campaign in particular, they're so large, of a general election candidate, you know, a serious candidate, yeah. is going to probably have some campaign finance violations. Just because it's such a difficult thing to keep up with and maintain 100% compliance. Mm-hmm. But if you have a willful violation, as this appears to clearly have been, that's what brings into the level of we're just going to fine you X number of dollars and people have to go to jail.
Okay, so let me take you through a couple of things. First of all, Dinesh D'Souza. That was clearly a political hit. Rosie O'Donnell was much worse.
You're saying an inconsistent application of the law,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Is what you're talking
yes.
about there.
So, I mean, if you're going to put Dinesh D'Souza in prison, Rosie O'Donnell should have gone to prison as well. She was much worse, did basically the same thing, except she knowingly was doing it, admittedly saying, you know, I'm using different names and everything else. She knew exactly what she was doing. Not a problem for Rosie O'Donnell. When it comes to Barack Obama, campaign finance violations. I think it was $2 million campaign finance violation. He paid a fine. Why is this one different?
Because of what I just said. I mean, I think the expectation is that in the course of handling all the various different donations and in recording all the donations in kind, you almost always miss some. That's like an expected thing, and then the FEC catches you, and you file an amended statement, and you pay a fine.
It's sort of like taxes, right? Like they always say, like you have no idea if you're really filing everything perfectly, and if they really look into it, they're going to find something that you screwed up, even completely unintentionally.
Right.
But with Al Capone, there was another set of books.
Exactly. Exactly. So the difference is between. I had a good faith belief that I could claim this as an exemption, and I hid $150,000 worth of income intentionally from the IRS. Those are two different penalties.
So what is the Trump explanation for this?
So Trump's explanation is it's a plausible one. Okay, I wouldn't laugh it out of court if I were a judge, is that, you know, the money was not spent to protect his reputation as a candidate. It was spent to protect his reputation with his family, prevent his wife and his kids from being embarrassed.
It is the Bill Clinton excuse.
Right. Kind of an interesting analogy. You know, we've been through this once before, actually. People have already forgotten it, even though it's been less than 20 years ago. But John Edwards, as you recall, was prosecuted for literally this exact same thing. John Edwards had an affair. He used campaign finance money to pay off his mistress to stay quiet. He was prosecuted for this. Now, ultimately, that was part of his argument to the jury, which was successful at least in hanging the jury, was, you know, look, this is, you know, A, it's a legitimate campaign expense because it's protecting my reputation as a candidate, and B, you know, it's not a campaign finance violation because I have other interests that were involved that I'm trying to protect with that. So, unfortunately, that one we didn't get like a court ruling on, like a judicial decision that sets a precedent as to whether that's a valid argument or not, but there's at least an argument that a jury, and look, John Edwards was not a sympathetic guy. His wife was dying of cancer. Okay. The jury had every reason to hate him and come down like a ton of bricks on him. But for whatever reason, enough of them bought that on the jury that he ended up walking. So,
and the other thing was Washington Examiner that kind of did a story on this and made the point of when a presidential candidate, for example, their example was goes to get a haircut. You have to get a haircut to look good on camera. Mm-hmm. And so he goes and he pays for his own haircut. In theory, you could say that's a campaign finance violation because he's spending money to improve his candidacy. But of course, that would be completely ridiculous. And if you go down that same line, is there a kind of a line of a defense there? Like, yes, he's spending money that will help him as a candidate in theory, but this was more of a private thing, and that's why they should overlook it.
I think Donald Trump could make a case he was more afraid of Melania than he was the American people.
It could be. It could be. But the problem that he's going to face is going to be what did Cohen and the National Enquirer people tell the DA, right? What did Donald Trump say to them? And of course, a lot of that we don't know yet.
If they have him saying, this will destroy my campaign,
right,
then it's a different story.
Right.
And that's the big thing, because if it's just Cohen's word, it means nothing.
Yeah, but right. if it's Cohen's word and the National Enquirer's word,
It means nothing. But if they have texts and emails and recorded phone conversations,
then it's different.
It could be big.
And that is big because, you know, as we say this is not part of the Mueller investigation, right? This is all Southern District of New York. They have the policy. They're not going to indict a sitting president. This is all about what the House is going to do, right? And it's all about what the Democrats can convince people politically is an impeachable offense. I mean, that's what impeachment is. It's not a legal thing. It's a political thing. Gerald Ford said it best.
You were an attorney for campaign finance violations. Right. Impeachable offense, this, where it stands today.
Let me say this. I've seen people prosecuted for less. Okay. But those people were not the president of the United States.
Right. Yeah.
It is a completely different ballgame.
Okay. Let me switch to China and Canada, because there's something going on and most people are not paying attention to this. China has now just disappeared a Canadian
suit. They got another one this morning.
They got another one.
Yes.
Explain who they are.
I'm handicapped because I came and got off a plane and got right here. So I don't know the particular, but it's a fairly low level. It's not anybody who's on the level of the one that the Canadians, you know, snatched from the Chinese. Mm-hmm. It's not like the CFO of a major company. Mm-hmm. It's still more, I think, on the level of message sending than actual retaliation.
So what happened is there's a Chinese official in Canada. Her father is high up in the Communist Party, but she runs a company that has been known to be dirty for a very long time, stealing all kinds of stuff from America. And so Donald Trump said, we want her extradited into the United States. She can't go home. China flipped out. Now, China has just taken two business people from Canada, and they're saying, you better release ours because two can play at this game. This is really, I think, what is really happening on China. And this is the beginning of a very strong Cold War here between us. We are saying the trade war is not just about the trade imbalance.
Right.
It is about stop stealing our stuff.
Right. So I'm, you know, I have been waiting for someone to do something like this, like what Trump has done for a long time. Like, mm-hmm. I've never thought tariffs were the answer. I still don't think they're the answer, but it is an issue. The Chinese theft of American intellectual, but they just have no respect for Western intellectual property. It's a known problem. It has been for years and years and years. And we've all been screaming for somebody needs to do something. And now Trump has done something. I think that's a good first step. But what we're seeing is that this is a very dangerous game to play, right? Mm-hmm. Because the Canadians, you know, Trudeau has got to go to his people and say, I have a reason for holding this CFO of, you know, China. And Trump has got to come to the American people and say, we have a reason for this person we've arrested. The Chinese government, they don't have to explain this to their own people. Right. They can snatch as many of our people and Canadians as they want and just disappear them off the street. Mm. And they don't have to go and say, oh, you know, well, here's why. Somebody's just gone. And that's the concern, is that there are a lot of American Canadian nationals over there that if we start engaging in this tit for tat, who knows where that could end up? Who knows where that could end up? Mm. But it's an interesting first step in if it is a negotiating ploy, we'll see how it works.
Real quick, in 60 seconds, tell me what you think is going to happen in both of those cases where they lead. This pure speculation. I'm asking you to look in 2019. Are we going to see impeachments in the House or just investigations?
I don't think so. I don't think we're going to see impeachment proceedings in the House unless something else major comes out. I don't think this campaign finance thing is going to be enough for the Democrats to roll the dice on that, because you have to know Republicans are not going to buy this. They have to know it's a dead end in the Senate, no matter what happens. If some other damaging information comes out, if Trump's approval rating dips down into the 20s, if the economy goes sour, maybe we see a different analysis. Okay. But I doubt it.
Canada, China, United States, trade. How does this get worse in 2019 to a happy ending, or does it get worse and we're not headed towards a happy ending a year from now?
Cautiously optimistic that it's going to get better. I think that both sides are at the point, and there is dialogue that's going on. I think both sides are at the point that they can still back away from the precipice on this one, and I hope that that's what ends up happening. But, you know, it is very important for us to protect our intellectual property rights, I'm hopeful that some kind of deal will get worked out to where that'll happen.
We both have a lot to lose, and I think they have more to lose than we do. Just on technology, at least today. Now is the time to play this card if you're actually going to play it. Leon, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
The managing editor of theblaze.com. You find all your news there at The Blaze. All right. I want to tell you about a game that you can play with your family for the holidays, and it actually, there's no politics in it. You can actually sit around and really laugh with your whole family, and this is a side benefit. They didn't do it for this, but it is for me. It's a side benefit. You actually learn how your kids think and learn how the other family members think, because you're encouraged to say anything. It's a, you know, you pass out cards, you have to have, you know, you have to respond to what the card is saying. And it just is head spinning at times.
And if you do say the wrong thing, you will lose your job hosting the Oscars. Remember that. That's part of the game.
So, I mean, that is. So if you are thinking about that, you're going to host the Oscars, don't get it. Everybody else, go to the toy section now at Target. Get this game for the holidays. You'll love it. It's called Say Anything. It's at the toy section in Target. Say Anything. So, Stu, you know how I've said, don't fear the machine. Don't fear the robots. Mm-hmm. Don't fear AI.
I know what you're going to say. Fear the goals.
Fear the goals. Mm-hmm. Why?
Because once the AI has the idea that it has a goal in mind, it will do whatever it has to do to accomplish it.
And it will not stop.
It won't stop. It doesn't care if it happens to be you know, hurting someone or...
Correct.
Right.
So when these big, huge robots in these factories, when they go awry, hey, go awry, because they do not stop. The first, I think the first accident was back in like in late 1990s. And it was, I think it was in an auto factory. And it just kept pushing like this engine on top of somebody, just crushing them because they got in between and it wouldn't, the machine could not get the engine where it was because the person was blocking it. And they, by the time they stopped it, the guy was just mush, but the machine just would not stop. There is another accident that happened today, and I just tweeted this. The picture is unbelievable. The guy lived, but I don't know what this machine was supposed to do, but it was supposed to drive spikes into something, and then, you know, another machine would put the bolt on it. Well, a guy got in front of it, and it drove six spikes through his chest and through his arm. And these are huge spikes. Shockingly, this guy is alive, but it shows him on the operating table. And it is, it's one of the worst things I've ever seen.
By the way, it was 10, not 6.
Was it 10?
Yeah, you can only see 6 in one of the photos, but
where
it was
were the
total
other?
Of 10. I don't want to know, man.
Jeez,
I don't know.
The other? My gosh. Because this is, I'm surprised this guy lived, because it looks like one had to go through his lung. And another one went right through his shoulder, and then his four more in his forearm.
It said one of them narrowly missed an artery, but he was actually able to move and get up after this. But this is, I mean, this is China too. I mean,
I'm surprised they just didn't throw him out in the street. You know what I mean? Hey, that's what happens when you get in the way of the machine. Next.
Grind him up for fuel, essentially.
Yeah.
The pictures are really gross if you're...
Pretty amazing. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the other thing when it comes to China is there is more news, and I don't know if we're going to be able to get to it today. There is more news about China actually data mining people's minds and how bad this is getting in China and how they've been doing it for a while. And so they are really way ahead because, you know, they've got several billion guinea pigs who are willing participants. You know, either that or you go to the gulag. So, of course you're willing. But the data mining of our own minds at work, at play, they can now begin to see those things. It is indeed a brave new world.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Mackenzie Adams. She was 9 years old. She wanted to be a scientist when she grew up. She excelled in math. She was always bringing home hundreds in her homework. She also liked to ride her bike, playing with dolls, PlayStation 4. She would record goofy videos with her cousins. But she just killed herself. The family is now having to bury Mackenzie on Saturday. Her body was discovered at their home in Alabama on the 3rd by her grandmother. What killed Mackenzie Adams? It's not a new story. It's not a new story. We'll talk to Mackenzie's family and see how they're turning a tragedy into possibly some sort of a blessing for others. We do that in 60 seconds.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I want to thank Liberty Safe for sponsoring this program. They have been one of our longest running sponsors, and we'll... I want to thank Liberty Safe for doing that. Great company. American Finance is also another company that has been with me, I think, since after the crash, maybe 2009, because American Financing called me in 2007. They've been fans of the show for a long time. It's a family-run business, and they said, hey, we want to talk to you about, you know, mortgages and refinancing mortgages and everything else. And I said, no, I think the housing market's going to collapse, and it's because of mortgage companies. And they said, that's not us. We don't We don't do that. We work for the customer. We don't work for the banks. And I said, well, call me after the crash and we'll see. And they did. They called me after the crash and they were fine. Their customers didn't have a problem because they don't jam you into a loan that's not right for you. American Financing, whether you're looking to refi, consolidate, or get your first house, it's AmericanFinancing.net. That's AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Mackenzie Adams, a little girl who, she was 9 and committed suicide. I don't even know how that happens to a 9-year-old. This story is so tragic on many levels. Edwina Harris, the aunt of Mackenzie Adams, is with us now. First of all, Edwina, our deepest, deepest sympathies go out to you and the family. I cannot imagine what you guys are going through now.
Thank you. It's been really hard.
So, first of all, tell me a little bit about Mackenzie. Tell me who she was.
Mackenzie was a very bubbly little girl, very smart, very funny. She liked to tell jokes like a granddad. Loved family, loved to travel, the zoo, go out to eat, the beach, you know. Just a really sweet, fun, and energetic kid.
So she was being bullied in school, mm-hmm. and she was being bullied, if I'm not mistaken, because she was friends with a white kid. Is that true?
That is true. It's more to it, of course, because you know, of course, she was a cute little girl. You know, had a lot of love. You know, every jealousy is not just what you have, but it's who you have around you as well. So that was some of it. And the family that she rode with loved her unconditionally as if she was theirs because they only have one child as well. So she was like his sister. They were really, really close.
And they would pick her up for school sometimes and she would go in and was it white kids or black kids that were, or both that were?
It was both. That was bullying her. It was both.
Oh, gosh. Man, does it ever get better in Alabama? So what was happening with the bullying that you can talk about? Like, what was being said?
Basically, what you guys have read, the, you know, name called it a B and black nigger and on papers, it would say, kill yourself, things like that. Yeah. And of course, Mackenzie, you know, we come, our home, we're Baptist, so she comes from a faith-based home. We, you know, we go to church. We believe in God and faith and all of those things. So what she did is not something that's taught. You know, that's not even something that's even brought up, you know, as far as suicide and killing yourself and death and things of that nature. So she's taught to love everybody. But the bullying, you know, of course, my mom is a respected individual in this community, which is something that has been lacking to be said because my mom has master's degrees. She works for DHR and the mental health center as well. So the people that's in the school system has worked with my mom in one form or fashion or another because my mom dealt in children's services. So the talks of bullying my mom addressed because she knew about it. The talks of how to deal with it. My mom was, these are the things that she in her profession has always helped other people get through. So it was a breaking point on that Monday that happened at school that had to have pushed her there because she had a loving environment that
wouldn't
knew
have
we here.
Yeah.
Right. That all she had to do was,
Do you know what happened on Monday that pushed it over the edge?
That is something we are still working on. I'm working diligently with Chief Austin to find that information out because, you know, kids have their cell phones and it's a lot of things that we're finding that we're still searching and trying to get final answers about. So
now I read that she was a great student, hundreds on all of her tests. But then recently that started to fall apart. So that was a warning sign that was something was going on. And she did talk to your mother, and the mother did talk to the teachers, right?
Absolutely. My mom went to the school. My sister called the school. My mom went up there a couple of times. And as I said, my mom worked with these, with the schools in both cities because of her profession, and they were more so of colleagues. And so she talked to them, and they assured her that they would make sure that she would be fine. She can come talk to them anytime she wanted. If anything was happening, she just, Mackenzie just should let them know. And that was to the assistant principal, to the counselor. And my mom was not able to speak with one of the teachers, but she was able to speak to another one. So yeah, they assured my mom. I mean, my mom wouldn't keep sending my niece back if she didn't get that assurance from people that she's worked with before.
And the main bullying kid, he was suspended for bullying earlier, was he not?
Now, I don't know about suspension, but I do know he was put in school suspension. Well, you know, in school, the ISS, not completely suspended from school, which is what he needed to be expelled from school. But he was put in school suspension, yes. And with that came documentation, which my mother does possess a carbon copy of that information where that incident took place when he was put in school suspension and my niece was wrote up for standing up for herself.
So I can't, I just, I, you know, I have kids, and at 9 years old, I mean, I'm worried about my, you know, my 14-year-old son and my 12-year-old girl. And I see the rate of suicide going through the roof, and something is happening with our kids. But at nine, it's stunning. And I've been thinking about you guys and praying about you and your family, but I also feel so, I'm so worried about her friend who, I mean, how is it? Do you have any idea how the family is dealing with this so he doesn't feel like my friend just because I was white or just because we were friends or whatever the reason that she's dead now? This is such a tragedy.
He's actually at the beach right now. I'm not sure if they're going to return him, which I highly recommend. And that's my recommendation for any parent that really feels in their heart that my mother did what she said, which was went to the school and reported it, that if you feel in your heart that my mother did what she said, because you know my mom, everybody in this area knows my mom and my dad, their respective individuals in this county, to move your kid. Because if this is what they want to say, what more will they do if it was your child? If your kids are feeling threatened at school, please move them. Please move them, because sending your kids out of your home from your protection to give them to someone that it will fail to protect them, that is not a good feeling. I am a mother. I am also in the school systems in Atlanta as well, and I take what I do very seriously. When you have allowed your kids to leave your home and come into my possession, they are now my children, and I'm going to protect them in every fiber of my being. I am not a punk educator. I am not scared of these kids that think that bullying is okay. I stand up to these kids just as I did in high school. When this happened, an outpour of people that I had protected, some I honestly have forgot because it was my heart to do that. If I saw somebody being mistreated, I would step up for them. But I was also one of the popular kids. So I was in band and cheerleading and different things like that. But that was my duty in my position, just as I have one now in media in Atlanta, to stand up and be this voice for those people that that can't do that. And those individuals like Edwin, I don't know how this happened to your niece when all you did was take care of me all through high school, all through middle school, or whatever the time frame it was that I protected those individuals. And it wasn't just one or two. It was, you know, 40, 50 different people that, and I was like, oh my God, I said, girl, where are you? You know, I forgot, because that's just who I am. That's just what my family, who my family is. And for it to happen to my niece, it was heartbreaking because nobody stood up for my niece. Nobody, the karma that we've done for people, the good, my niece had to suffer with this. No teacher stood up like my mom and my dad and myself have stood up in the education system. My aunts that are teachers and professors and, you know, doctors in education. Nobody stood up for my niece. Nobody stood up for my baby. Nobody. Really?
You have started a GoFundMe page called the McKenzie Foundation. You can find it just by searching for McKenzie Foundation. And you have a goal of $10,000. You've already gotten $3,000. And you want to focus not just on the bullied, but you also want to focus on the bully, him or herself. In what way?
Well, when this happened, some of those guys that I did go to school with and some people I didn't know, they said, well, Edwin, I just want to be honest with you. I was the bully. And the reason I'm telling you is because I trust you. But I also read where the person that I used to bully in school was stating a story how their life is still in turmoil because they have been bullied for so long in school. So it doesn't stop when you're an adult. These things live with you for the rest of your life. So said so many people that I've been reading that have been inboxing me. So I want to bring in those people that have opened up to me and that was a bully. Right now I'm talking with them to see what was happening in your life at this time that made you feel that coming to school to bully someone else was okay. And if the stories vary, it's from things that happened with drug addiction. It was a single parent home. Other family members were bullying them. So they came to school and bullied someone else. So the bully has to heal first. Because if we can target and help the bully, they won't bully someone else because it takes a bully for there to be bullying.
Edwina Harris, the aunt of Mackenzie Adams. My wife and I wish we could be at the funeral on Saturday. I don't know why. I just feel so attached to Mackenzie and what she went through and the little boy as well. And I just want you to know that you're in our thoughts and in our prayers. And blessings to you and the family, and may this turn out to be, in the long run, something that will bring honor to Mackenzie's name for a long, long time to come.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you would like to donate, you can go to GoFundMe. It's the Mackenzie Foundation. They're trying to reach $10,000 to be able to have some of these former bullies come in and maybe make a difference. It's worth a try. GoFundMe.com. You're only 60 seconds away from content on the Glenn Beck program, and we're glad that you're here. Let me tell you for 60 seconds about Liberty Safe, our sponsored number one safe manufacturer in the nation, and they've sold more than 2 million safes, and they've done it for a reason. Liberty leads the industry in technology and innovation, and they offer exclusive features like a military locking bars safe. I have my guns in one of these, and they're great, and they look cool. They also have heat-expanding fire seals, second to none. Those are really important. Plus, all of their full-size safes come with a lifetime warranty. It's an unbeatable product that you can count on to protect the things that matter most to you that you need to keep in a safe, whether that's cash or jewelry or documents. You want to protect them from thieves or from fires. Keep your family safe by securing your guns, prescription medication. Liberty Safe. Become an owner now. They offer 12-month interest-free financing on approved credit. Check out their special deals now at libertysafe.com. Go there now, libertysafe.com. We pause for 10 seconds, station ID. Right back into programming. This is the Glenn Beck Program. So up at glenbeck.com today, there is a flashback of something that we did. Stu, I haven't even seen it yet, but it's a flashback of me in 2008 talking about Baby It's Cold Outside and saying, well, look how ridiculous this song is.
Yeah, you basically predicted all of the terrible things that have been said about Baby It's Cold Outside from back in the day. Someone actually speculated after we posted it that, you know, someone from the left was going through to try to catch you on something from a million years ago, some horrible thing you said, and just thought that this was a good idea. You're mocking the idea that Baby It's Cold Outside is about date rape. But now that's a thing that's actually believed by every person who says they love social justice online. And you kind of predicted the whole controversy about 10 years ago. First of all, it's a very funny segment.
Is it arable still?
Well, I don't know if it's arable per se. Go listen to it online.
Because so much you say, like last week, is no longer arable this week.
No, I mean, certainly Kevin Hart something, has found that out.
Yeah, 10 years old, that's not going to go well.
No, but it was it's very funny. And, well, you're mocking the idea that someone would think, you know, this is about date rape. But I mean, if you want to read it that way, if you want to hear the song in that light, you can. It's very funny in that it can have that meaning. Obviously, that was not the intent. You talked about this yesterday. The intent was actually the exact opposite. The intent was to say it was freeing for women at the time.
Women could make their own sexual decisions. Women could be coy and play hard to get and say, yeah, I'm going to stay. That was not a role of a woman back when that song was written. You didn't do this. This was a very empowering, a woman empowering song.
Context matters, right?
No.
It's supposed to.
No, not anymore.
But if you go back and listen to this, and it's a very fun Christmas listen. It's at glennbeck.com. We tweeted and put it on Facebook as well. It's it's worthwhile, especially because you see now today, people who are supposed to be, you know, trustworthy arbiters of culture are making all of the points you're making for real. They're saying these things are really offensive. It's really bizarre.
All right, you find that at glennbeck.com. Let me talk to you about, have you ever heard of Jimmy John's, the sandwich place?
Oh, heard of it.
Yeah, okay.
I've been there many times.
This bastard.
What did he
do?
Jimmy
John's. Oh, he's just showing off.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, he went into a Walmart in Illinois. And paid off $81,000 worth of layaway goods, probably only to do it just to get his name in the paper and have everybody think good thoughts about him.
These bastards.
You know, what a jerk.
Yeah.
What a jerk. Clearly not a Christian. You know. And Tyler Perry. Wow. What a showboat that guy is.
Yeah. This is seemingly going around. I think someone who sees themselves as a competitor of yours, Daily Caller or something. I never understand this. It's like if we're all like kind of fighting for conservative values, you know, I never understand why everyone gets so nasty with each other. That's always been a bizarre feature. But I guess it's media, whatever. And I guess they're trying to make your donation look bad.
You're just looking for attention. I should have been quiet. I did see a theory online. I love this one. That I am so broke that I'm only doing this to look like I'm not broke.
It's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Yeah. If you're living under a bridge, work that magic tonight.
Right. I don't understand that. I mean, you know, Bono used to get beat up all the time, sometimes by conservatives who would say, oh, he's selling these T-shirts and a portion of them is going to some charity.
I always thought that was great.
Yeah, you know, I don't think that was I don't think most people did, because it's a celebrity and he's making a big deal out of it, and they put these in stores all over the country.
It's a capitalist thing.
And they went after, at the end, they were like, well, only 10% of the money, for these shirts winds up going to the charities. And it's like, well, that was kind of what was promised. 10% of the proceeds will go to charity, and wound up donating millions and millions of dollars to charity through this. And if he didn't talk about it, no one would buy the shirts.
If Tyler Perry would have kept this secret, it wouldn't have given me the idea.
Or Kid Rock.
Kid Rock. Or Jimmy John's. Or you, the thousands of people all around the country who heard these ideas and went, I'm going to do that.
It's great.
It's fantastic. Can we please relax and just enjoy the holiday spirit? Please.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Okay. Have you taken some of the things off of your list that you want to do? For instance, go outside and make a snowman with the kids or the grandkids. You can't because your hands hurt too much, or you just can't do it physically anymore because everything hurts all the time.
But other than that, it's fine.
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah.
Get your life back. Get underneath the Christmas tree with the kids and open the presents in advance. I'm just saying, that's what grandfathers do. Go out and play in the snow with the kids. Get your life back. Get out of pain. Try ReliefFactor.com. Try it for 3 weeks. If it doesn't work, you're out $20. If it does work, you get your life back. A year ago, I started taking it. I still take it 3 times a day today, and it works for me. ReliefFactor.com. Order the quick start now at ReliefFactor.com.
The Blaze TV is available to subscribe. You're getting dozens of shows now. Go to blazetv.com. Use Bet Christmas for $20 off right now.
Well, I've, you know, we're coming to the end of the week. Tomorrow is Friday. We've got a whole bunch of really important stuff to talk about. I've got a really important story to share on the Glenn Beck program. Stu, I don't know what you have.
Incredibly important.
Had to pick out of all of the stack of stuff that you have, and the huge stack I have, I've got one story. It has to be done today.
Okay. Yeah, I've got a pretty important one as well, I think.
So I have the Nigerian president is denying that he died and has been replaced by a clone.
He's denying it?
He's denying it.
Despite the fact that they look identical?
Identical. You look at the pictures side by side of him now, the clone, and the real guy, you cannot tell the difference.
So, I mean, maybe that's just unbelievable.
So they say that he died on a medical vacation in London last year after he received treatment for an undisclosed illness. But then he went back, and because he's running for re-election, he couldn't do it because he was dead.
Right, he's dead. So they had to.
So they made a clone, and he's now saying, "No, this a quote. It's the real me. I assure you."
Well, that's exactly what a clone would say.
Exactly right. That's what I was thinking. That's what I would say. And I'm a clone.
Oh no. Well, you see, you wouldn't say that if you were really a clone.
If I were really a clone, here's what I would say. You genetically engineered me, and I look and feel like this?
Cure some stuff while you're in there. I mean,
if this guy is the Nigerian president and he's a clone, he's pissed because they cloned him and genetically engineered him to be exactly the same as the 76-year-old guy who is about to kick it anyway.
I gotta say, too, if they do clone the Nigerian prince, there's going to be no elderly people with any money.
Yeah.
They will all be
getting letters. Yeah. No, really, I am the Nigerian prince. I'm not the clone.
Now, if you are looking for another part-time job, Glenn, and I don't know if this would be you exactly.
Now, this is the story that you think is really important.
I think so.
Okay, this is what we do for a living.
Inside the underground breast milk market.
Oh my gosh, it's finally been exposed. The underground breast milk market.
It actually is kind of a fascinating story because there's a market, and a lot of times, a lot of places will ban the idea that you could pump your own breast milk and sell it to someone else to feed to their child. That is what we're talking about
now
here.
Wait a minute, hang on just a second. So is this in the United States?
In the United States.
Of course it is. Yes.
Why of course it is?
Because that's where I'm involved in it.
Oh, okay.
I've been pumping these. No milk is coming out, but I've been pumping like crazy. It hurts.
They look of size. So it's an interesting regulation question, because I think there's a feeling, I think, among people that it just doesn't feel right. Right? Like, it just doesn't feel right that
you
should be doing that.
That's what a wet nurse was. You ever read things like Mary Poppins or whatever, and they're like, oh, well, it was my wet nurse. That's what a wet nurse was.
Right. And so that doesn't happen very often anymore. Well, I mean, it does, but the idea here is that you're actually selling for profit, right?
Oh, like, my gosh.
Right?
No way.
And that's, of course, where all these things get nasty, because if someone was doing it for free, you might look at it and say, oh, well, that's okay. It's charitable. They're helping. If they really, if breastfeeding is that important to a mom and this is the only way that they can get it done, okay.
I have to tell you, I'm a little uncomfortable, you know, with the term breast milk black market. I mean, if it is like, psst, come here, I've got some breast milk for you, I wouldn't buy it. But if it was somebody that I knew And somebody was a friend of the family, and then they said, you know, I can provide real breast milk. And you knew them, and you're like, you know what? I'll pay you for that. What's the problem?
Well, I mean, you know, that is the, that's the issue here, I think, does come down to the exchange, right? It becomes, can you make a profit off of this? Because so many places have said no. Now, there's a black market only because people have outlawed the idea that you could sell it to someone. It's not like there're actually people like in trench coats, I don't think, pumping in the back alleys. this is a situation where
the slave labor.
It's a situation where people want to share they want to be able to sell their breast milk, right. And the government's stopping them. So
why? As long as there's not somebody behind them going, keep lactating,
right?
You know.
Well, I mean, there are risks, right, with disease potentially. Someone could have
it, but you can easily. I mean, there's. I mean, come on.
I don't know.
You could easily make this so it's safe.
You could, if you allowed it, right? If you allowed it in front of everyone to
You let it in the light of day.
I mean, we always have this argument, you know, this is a libertarian sort of position for sure, but it's like, you know, when you come to selling organs, right? Those things become controversial, I think, because it kind of just grosses us out in some way. It doesn't feel
organs are
right.
A little different.
Yeah,
organs are a little different. And by the way, if the Nigerian president is selling his breast milk as a clone, I want to know about it. I want to know about it. All right, so we're going to move on.
Clone milk is not currently allowed to share.
So yesterday, we can't do clones yet. I don't know if anybody knows that. Yesterday, we told you about a World War II veteran. His name is Lauren Kissick, and he landed at Normandy on D-Day, June 6, 1944. And the thing that caught my eye is this guy, he was 19 years old. He's always wanted to go back. He is the only survivor now of the 453rd, which was out of Fort Knox, Kentucky. He was a machine gunner on D-Day. His wife never really wanted to travel, and he would just never leave her side. They were married for 71 years. She, unfortunately, has just passed away from leukemia, and the two daughters now are trying to save up enough money to bring Dad to the D-Day 75th anniversary over in France, which happens next summer. So they were trying to raise $12,000, and I think, I don't remember how much they had yesterday, but now they have $19,000. And so I don't know if they've told Dad yet, but we have Lori and Julie, the two daughters, on the phone now from Tacoma, Washington. Hi, Lori. Hi, Julie. Hello. Are you guys there?
Good morning. Yes.
How are you?
Good morning. Very
We're
well.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks to you.
It's good to talk to you. You know, I grew up, part of my childhood was in Puyallup, so we were kind of neighbors for a while. I was thrilled to read what you were doing for your dad. Have you told him yet? Or are you saving it for Christmas? Or
no, he knows. We told him that we were working on this. And so, no, he is aware, and he is quite ecstatic to be able to go back. And I think he's in a little bit of disbelief right now. But thank you so much for your help. We never would be here without you. And it is just absolutely overwhelming to see how the kind thoughts that people are sending and donation. It's just so encouraging and so heartwarming.
Well, first of all, it wasn't me. It's this audience. This audience is really remarkable.
It's incredible. I've read the comments, and I cry when I read them. I have an 18-year-old daughter, and we were reading them, and we were just all choked up about people giving $10, $5. It's overwhelming. It went from 4,000 to over 19,000 in less than 24 hours. We're just dumbfounded and so grateful. Thank you.
Now, you could take that extra and maybe fly him first class and really treat your dad for something remarkable. Or we could take a cut of that and spend it on something useless.
Thoughts? Thoughts? What do you think?
What do you think? It's a tempting offer, isn't it? Tempting offer.
Yeah, several people had mentioned that, you know, since we were going over goal, that maybe we could get him a first class flight. So we're going to try to do that.
Oh, yeah. You have to. He will love it. Is he healthy enough to really, really appreciate all of it?
Yes, he is. He's quite mobile and he's very alert. You know, I mean, he's with it. He's still driving. He maybe shouldn't be, but he is. But he's very active socially. So there is no issues. You know, he's quite mobile. He can get around great.
In fact, we have a hard time keeping track of him. We tell him to check in and we can't find him.
That's great. So, that's great.
It's a problem.
After
he's going on. Yeah, he's pretty funny.
After 71 years of marriage, you had to be worried about him, because usually, I mean, people like that, they grow into one, and it's beautiful to see.
Yes, they do.
How's he handling that?
He's handling it. We see him and talk to him every day. We're both really close. And so we're just making sure that he's eating properly, he's taking his blood pressure medicine as he's supposed to, and just kind of keeping up with that. Mm. And as my sister said, he keeps himself very busy. And it is hard to track him down sometimes because he won't turn his cell phone on. So
you can't hear it.
Well, his hearing isn't so good, but everything else is great.
Everyone loves him, and they spend a lot of time. The neighbors, my sister spends a ton of time. He spends a couple nights a week at my house with my husband and my daughter and I, and he'll just hang out. So he's a very much a people person and loves to be around people.
Well, two things. I want to put you in touch with somebody who is trying to record all of the remaining voices of everybody who fought in World War II.
That would be awesome.
He's making an amazing archive, and so I'll put you in touch with him. But I want to ask you a favor. Will you take our audience with you? So when you go, alert us, and then make some videos and take some pictures so we can follow your dad and you guys on this trip.
You know, absolutely. In fact, some of the comments had been that they looked forward to hearing about the trip, and that sort of triggered in me that we needed to chronicle this. We needed to make it so that other people could share in the moments that we're sharing with him. And so, absolutely, we will make that a priority to do.
We'd love to talk to him either before you go or after you go, if that's appropriate.
Oh, yes, that would be appropriate.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lori?
He'll probably talk your ear off.
That's fine. I tell you, we had 100. What was he? 103? We had a guy here who was a big fan of ours, and he just passed away because he was hit by a truck.
No,
it was awful. Tragic. Yeah. He was out riding his bike, and somebody hit him. He was 103 or so. The guy he sat there and he told us about what it was like the day the stock market crashed in 29. It was incredible. We love hearing stories from these people.
Yeah, he has some fabulous stories.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, guys, thank you so much. Congratulations. And
thank you so much for everything.
Merry Christmas. Stu and I are sitting in an X chair. I kind of feel like it is, I don't know, something that would be seen in a sci-fi movie.
You could put it on the Enterprise, maybe.
You could put it on the Enterprise and be like, yes, just a minute. Because it has a zillion different adjustments, and it is a really comfortable chair. X-Chair has launched a new model after talking to you for a limited time, and it's only available for this audience, and you can get it for Christmas right now at xchairbeck.com. The Super X-Chairs have literally, it is so many adjustments. I don't even know how to adjust the thing, all of it. I really don't. the X-Chair Basic, the X Basic, doesn't have, you know, it can't fly, which I think this one can. It just has all of the stuff that you need that you would get out of a really great chair. So it's a lot less expensive, but it is just as comfortable and has all of the adjustments that you really need. The holidays are here. Make the X Chair the perfect gift for a hardworking employee or a spouse.
Or a lazy employee. Let's leave those people out. Those people are important,
too. No, we're
going
to take yours away at the beginning of the year. Oh. X Chair is on sale now for $100 off. Go to xchairbeck.com. That's X, the letter X, chairbeck.com. You can call 844-4X-CHAIR. Comes with a 30-day, no questions asked guarantee of satisfaction. Plus, if you use the promo code Beck, you'll also receive a free footrest. That's for people like Stu. You can just fall asleep in the chair at the office. It's xchairbeck.com. This is the Glenn Beck Program. Tonight at 5 on Blaze TV, you're going to be able to call in. It's Thursday, and every Thursday we do a call-in show, so you can ask anything. You can pontificate or whatever. I'm not saying that I'm going to listen to you, but I might. Sometimes, you know, you catch me, and I'm very, very interested in pontification. But I would love to talk to you. Anything on your mind at all today, 888-727-BECK. Ask Glenn anything tonight, 5 p.m. Eastern on Blaze TV, blazetv.com. By the way, if you go to blazetv.com/Beck and you use the promo code BECKCHRISTMAS, you're going to save $20 on your yearly subscription. And people who have had yearly subscriptions, I've been reading the email coming in, people who have had yearly subscriptions are now upping to a 3-year subscription because they're so jazzed at what we have now.
Yeah, I think it's less than like $5. It's right around $5 a month, or maybe even less than $5 a month if you do the lengthy commitment, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, basically nothing. And you're getting so many shows. There's so many.
It's kind of
dozens and dozens and
dozens. I think it's $4.99. It's kind of worth it. You know, the 3 year is kind of worth it.
You never had a place with this many conservative voices in one spot before. I mean, there's never been anything like this.
No, this is, I mean, CNN called it the largest merger of conservative media.
Yeah.
We're thrilled. And hopefully next year, we're just going to get bigger and better.
There we go.
So blazetv.com/Beck, blazetv.com/Beck. Make sure you sign up. You can save $20 on your year subscription. And things are indeed heating up. BlazeTV.com/Beck. Promo code Beck Christmas. See you at 5. Ask Glenn anything. 5 o'clock Eastern. Blaze TV.
You're listening to Glenn.